Good morning. Thank you. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there, and grandmoms, and great grandmoms. Today I want to talk to you about leaving a legacy. A very important thing that I think sometimes we forget about. I found some cool PowerPoint things. I just wanted to say Happy Mother's Day to all you moms. I didn't do that. I found it online. Sounds good. Now, how do I work this thing? Let's see. I don't know. Okay. Next.
Okay. I have the same problem every week.
How do I do next? Just jump in here.
Look at your wife and say, what's going on?
She's not my wife.
Yeah, you can use mine.
She's my friend.
You can use mine.
She's my friend. Okay. I thought that was an awesome picture. Yeah, Mom? Okay, the scripture that I want to start with this morning is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. As apostles of Christ, we certainly had a right to make some demands of you, but instead we were like children among you, or we were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's goodness, good news, but our own lives too. If I had a little laser thing, kind of going to their, but our own lives too. That's what I want to talk about today. What are your children seeing? What are they going to be carrying on to their children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? On this day that we honor mothers, it's a good thing to think about how much we moms really do. Maybe that's why they're so celebrated, because we do so much. But anyway, just a thought. Mothers are teachers, they're disciplinarians, they're cleaning ladies, some mothers are gardeners and lawnmowers, some mothers aren't. Most mothers understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows, amen to that, rather be baking cookies than washing windows anyway. Mothers are nurses, they're doctors, they're psychologists, they're counselors, they're chauffeurs, they're coaches, they're developers of personalities. They're molders of vocabularies. We did this, not I and Jake did this, or Jake and I did this, but, you know, proper vocabulary, something that's not taught much these days. Shapers of attitudes. Correct that attitude. What to do I is that, Mom? You know. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. And mothers are a link to God. Mothers are a link to God. A child's first impression of God's love. That's really something to, wow, that's kind of heavy responsibility, isn't it? Mothers are all of these things and much, much more. Being a mom is not a leisurely walk in the park, because they're probably there to watch their children play in the playground anyway. So they're probably not doing their leisurely thing in the park. There was a junior high teacher that was lecturing on the properties of magnets for the class. So the next day, he gave the students a quiz on what he had taught them about magnets. And the first question that he said on this quiz was, my name begins with an M, and it has six letters, and I pick things up. What am I? Half of the children in the class wrote, mother. There was a father who was trying to explain to his four-year-old, I can identify this because my granddaughter is four, his four-year-old daughter. So he got the wedding album out, thinking that visual aids would be really good for her to, you know, see the marriage and the wedding album and explain the entire wedding service to her. And, you know, when he was finished, he asked her if she had any questions. So she pointed to the picture of the wedding party, and she said, Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us? There are some great portraits, now that I'm done at this moment with the funnies. I have more funnies later. There are some great portraits of motherhood in Scripture. I love the picture of Moses, who lovingly and sacrificially gave her son up. But then God made a way for her to get him back, and she broke the rules and still taught him about their faith. We see the sacrificial love of a mother when she appeared before King Solomon. And, you know, there was this other woman, and they were fighting over the baby, and like, who gets it? And the mother was more willing to give the baby to the other woman than let that baby be cut in half. That's sacrifice. There's a mother of James and John who loved their boys so much that she wanted them to sit by the Lord's side in the heavenly kingdom. Now, I know a lot of people put that woman down, but I think that's wrong. That's my personal opinion. I think it's a wrong attitude. That woman loved her children so much, she wanted to make sure they were with God. I see nothing wrong with that. There's a mother of King Lemuel who gave some advice to her son about a godly living and how to pick a good wife, all the attributes of a good wife in Proverbs 31. But don't worry, ladies. I'm not preaching about Proverbs 31. Okay? Now, next. Go next, please, Marilyn. The next one. I'm aware that Mother's Day sometimes can be difficult. All right, it's difficult for me personally. My mom's been gone for a couple of years. And I see what my daughter-in-law is going through. It breaks my heart. So maybe for some reason it's hard for you today because maybe you want to be a mom, but you can't be for whatever reason. Maybe some of you have not had the best mother in the world. Maybe some of you had a mother who has died. Maybe some of you mothers have lost a child to death. Maybe some mothers have felt the pain of a wayward child this morning. That's a really hard thing, to raise your children in the things of God and see them walk away from it. And there are some that are flying solo as you work hard to nurture your child's faith. But let me assure you that no matter what challenges you and what things face you, God has what you need to be a godly mother and to teach your children in the things of God and leave them a godly legacy. God has everything available to you. In 2 Timothy, In 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again. Paul was writing this to Timothy. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Paul had written Timothy because he remembered Timothy, and he was filled with remorse and longing to see him again. And he reminded Timothy of what his mother and his grandmother had put in him. So I want to talk today about a grandmother, a mother, and a boy. There was a young woman, and her name was Eunice. And she was raised in a religious home. She was greatly impacted by her mother, Lois, and she loved to learn stories from the Bible. And she enjoyed going to the services where she could learn about God. As she approached her teenage years, she was still focused on spiritual matters, but she became attracted to a young man who was not at all into religion. And against the best wishes of her godly mother and the teaching of her faith, the tug of her conscience, she married the man. Now, don't get me wrong. He was a nice guy, but he thought spiritual matters were for kind of weak people. So after a couple years of marriage, Eunice and her husband had a baby boy, and they named him Timothy. But in the meantime, Eunice's dad had died. So they asked the mother, Lois, to come live with them. And little Timmy was a delight to everybody, and his mother and his grandmother spent hours teaching him and showing him the story of the Old Testament. Remember, they didn't know that Paul hadn't come yet. They haven't learned about Jesus yet. So don't dismiss the teachings of the Old Testament. They are good. They are sound. And they are foundational. Okay? Just got to put that in there. They were praying with him. And they were praying for him. Guess what? They didn't have VeggieTales. They didn't have Boz the Bear. Yeah. They didn't have whatever Christian videos out there to watch. They taught. And they didn't have a Bible to read. They taught that boy what they had learned. It was passed down from generation to generation to generation. One day, a preacher named Paul came, and he spoke about this man named Jesus. Now, remember, those teachings were against everything that they had been taught. That, you know, they didn't know, they had to believe that he truly was the Messiah. Paul had to convince them that he truly was the Messiah that they had learned about in the Old Testament. So Lois and Eunice listened intently, And they saw in Jesus the fulfillment of all the promises in the Old Testament. I truly believe Paul prayed ahead of time before he went anywhere for people's minds and their hearts to be opened. And they were converted. And they were new believers. And they focused teaching Timothy about who Jesus was. If you learn something new in Christ, if God has given you a new revelation, it would behoove you to teach your children that revelation, because then they can pass it on to their children. Now, we know from the reading of the scriptures that Paul himself took a personal interest in Timothy. And partnering with his mother and grandmother, he led him to a saving faith. Now, later when Paul and Timothy partnered together in ministry, and as the gospel said, they spread scripture throughout a lot of areas. And many years later, when Paul was in prison, is when he wrote this letter to Timothy, because he missed Timothy much. And also, we have to remember, when Timothy was finally sent out into ministry, he was sent into one of the hardest areas there was there. It was full of paganism and corruption. But God knew that what Timothy had been taught, God knew that what his mother, his grandmother, and Paul had instilled with him, he had what it took to go where God had sent him. That those things weren't going to influence him, but he was going to influence them. We want to be able to teach our children so that where they go, they're not influenced by the world, but the world is influenced by them. So as Paul writes these letters, he reflects on the impact that Timothy's mom and grandmother had in his life. Whoops, I just lost my earrings, so I'll take the other one off. Okay. Now, so that was the background. I want us to look at the things that the mother and the grandmother had instilled into Timothy, okay? An impact that we can all make on our children. We have more things available to us today than they ever did. We have no excuse. We have no excuse not to be teaching our children the things of God. I'm not just speaking to moms here. I'm speaking to everyone under the sound of my voice. If you're a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, I don't care what you are. If there's a child in your life, you can have a godly influence in their lives. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, verses 12 to 15. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Ooh, really? Yeah, you can't cut that one out. That's what it says, okay? But evil people and imposters will flourish. They will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they're true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. Remember, Paul is writing this to Timothy. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Jesus Christ. In verse 12, little thing, we see that Timothy was taught that everyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. He wasn't flowered over. He was told truth. Okay? Then in verse 14, we see that Paul says, you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. In other words, hang in there. Don't give up. Stand and ground on what you know has been taught to you. These are the things that, remember, these are the things that his mother and grandmother have taught him. Timothy didn't only have cognitive abilities. Okay, he was taught this, they were taught the scriptures. They were taught to memorize them as down through the ages. He just didn't have the cognitive ability. He just didn't fill his head with truth, but he internalized it and he lived it. You can quote the Bible from front to back, but if you're not living it, you're not really influencing anybody. I'm not trying to be harsh, but it's the truth. You need to live what you read. You need to live, what you're doing. And I think that because Timothy did this, he saw it modeled in his grandmother and his mother. They didn't just teach him the things of God, they lived the things of God. Okay? Verse 15 shows us, you know that they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. He knew that he could trust them because they didn't just say it, they did it. Now, in essence, they were living out the scripture that they had been taught. Listen, O Israel, from Deuteronomy, Old Testament, they were taught this. The Lord is our God, the Lord God alone, And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. In other words, never stop talking about them. Never stop talking about them. These moms and grandmoms had God's word in their heart. And because they had it, they could impress it upon young Timothy. And they could show young Timothy how to live this thing in everyday life. Moms, it's never too early to teach your children the Bible. From the womb on, it is never too early. But guess what? If you're also a new Christian, never too late either. There is no too early and there is no too late. You can still teach them. There is nothing that can replace your role in your child's life. And God wants you to instill in them His word and His principles. There were four scholars that were arguing. Ha ha. Nothing unusual about scholars arguing, is there? Over Bible translations. And one said that he preferred the King James because of its beauty and its eloquent English, which it definitely is. Another one said that he liked the American Standard Version for its literalism. And a third scholar said he was sold on the New Living Translation, which I have been using today. I like it because of its simplicity. That's, you know. The scholar said he liked how it took some difficult passages and made them easy. And then there was a fourth scholar, and he just kind of sat there kind of quiet, and he says, you know what? I kind of personally prefer my mom's translation. And the scholars just looked at him, and they started laughing. He says, yeah. He says, you know what? She translated the scriptures for me. My mom translated each page of the Bible into her life because she did it. And it was the most interesting translation that I ever had. Mothers, fathers, grandfathers, aunts, uncles, what kind of Bible is the child around you reading? When they observe your life, what do they see? Are you looking for ways to instill a respect for the Word of God into their lives? Or aren't you? Or you just come to church and then forget about it when you get home. Remember, you can make a significant spiritual impact in your children with or without the help of anybody else. If you have an unsafe spouse, you can still influence your children. If you're doing it alone, you can still influence your children. It doesn't matter. It's your choice. In 2 Timothy, keep doing the wrong one. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that some faith continues strong in you. Even though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to a point where he believed for himself. Your children cannot ride in the coattails of what you believe, and that is something that you need to teach them. I'm glad that you see that I love Christ, but you need to know it for yourself. They're not going to get to heaven on your coattails. They need to get there on their own, okay? Faith is not hereditary. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean your children, it's not genes, it's not genetic. They're not going to get it. It needs to be taught, okay? Mothers model genuine faith, an environment that's set up where children will be motivated to want that kind of faith. It's sincere. The word sincere means unhypocritical. Unhypocritical means you don't just say it, you do it. I know I keep repeating myself, but I think it's really, really important. I don't care how much you talk to me about it. What are you doing with it? Nobody knows better than a child or a spouse whether you're living what you're talking or not. No one knows better than the people that live in your home. Okay? Now notice the chain here. From Lois, the grandmother, to Eunice, the mother, to the grandson, Timothy. And guess what? It doesn't say in these scriptures, but I'm sure that they were praying women. I'm sure they were praying women. I'm sure that they took their faith seriously, and I'm sure that they prayed for Timothy, and they prayed for God to show himself to Timothy, and they prayed for themselves. And they wanted to bring him up knowing who God was. It was something that they had purposed in their hearts to do. There was recently I'll tell you another story. I know I like to do stories, but I think they kind of bring the point across. There was a pastor who had a long conversation with someone that was thinking of becoming a member of their church. And when he was done, the young man said he was ready to join. And the pastor said, oh, well, you know, can I ask you, what was it that I said that, you know, made you decide yes to join us? And the young man said, well, it wasn't anything you said. It was the way my mother lived. This is true. This is a true statement. This isn't something I made up. It's true. As I think about the kind of faith that was passed from mother to mother to son, I'm convinced that a mother like this has to be more interested in having her children know the Bible and be able to speak than to be able to speak another language before they are 5 years old. A godly mother is also more interested in their children's souls than in their bodies or their clothes. Her children's eternal life more than their success in life. Their children's relationship with Jesus more than their popularity in the world. Their children standing before God than their social status or their Facebook status. Her children's spirituality more than her intellectual, musical, or athletic accomplishments. They are the things that a godly mother should be interested in for her child. Timothy's family environment was fertile to his faith. Both his grandmother and his mother held their faith deeply, and they shared it freely. They weren't ashamed to tell Timothy, no matter where they were. I'm sure that, you know, in the market or marketplace or wherever they were, they shared their faith with Timothy. They would capture a moment where they could teach Timothy about something. We need to look for those moments. How fertile is the environment in your family? Is it a nurturing environment of faith in your children's lives? Grandmothers, are you teaching your children? If your grandchildren aren't being taught, are you teaching them if you know? When you have a moment with them, teach them. The next thing that I'd like to talk about that Timothy instilled, was a desire to minister. Paul went first to Derbe and then to Lystra, where there was a young disciple named Timothy. His mother was a Jewish believer, but his father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by the believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. And in deference to the Jews of the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before they left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. That's where I got my little story that I knew that he was more interested in spiritual things. I wasn't doing anything that I hadn't read. Okay, I see three qualities in Timothy here. Timothy was a strong believer. These are the things that Paul wrote about. First of all, he was a strong believer. He was referred to as a disciple. These are things that Timothy's grandmother and mother just, you know, put into him. He was a disciple, and a disciple is serious about following Christ, about going through what he needs to go through to be a model for Christ. Secondly, Timothy had a good reputation. I want myself and my children to have a good reputation. I do not want to have a bad reputation. If someone is calling me a person of integrity, I am blessed. I am blessed. That's what I want to be known as. Thirdly, he was available. God isn't concerned with our abilities. He doesn't care how many abilities you have, because guess what? He gave them to you anyway. But what he is concerned with is your availability. Yeah, he gave you the gifts, but how available are they to him? When Paul stopped for the second time, he enlisted Timothy to be a special assistant, and he called him his son. In 1 Timothy, he called him, Paul couldn't think of anyone like Timothy, and he writes in Philippians, I didn't put these here, you can look them up, Philippians 2:20, he says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Paul thought very highly of Timothy. He saw something in that young man when he first visited their hometown. He knew that he was going to be a man of God because he saw the foundation that was put underneath him. Mother, a part of your job is to instill respect to your children for the Bible and for the things of God, so that they can be a strong believer, so that they can have a good reputation, so that they can be available. That's your job. Parents, that's your job. Grandparents, that's your job. Aunts and uncles, that's your job, to disciple them. Because if you don't disciple them in the right way, I guarantee you somebody will disciple them in the wrong way. The devil wants them. You need to want God to have them the greater. Now for some funny things. Let's bring some humor back into this. What moms teach us? Foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Everyone here always hear that one? Moms teach logic. If you fall out of that tree and break your neck, don't come crying to me. That's logic, okay? Moms teach maturity. Eat your vegetables or you'll never grow up. Mom teaches about prayer. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Moms teach about time travel. If you don't straighten up, I'm going to knock you in the middle of next week. Mom teaches about contradictions. Close your mouth and eat your dinner. Kind of hard to do, don't you think? Contortionism. Will you look at the dirt on the back of your neck? Perseverance. You are going to sit here until you eat every last piece of that broccoli. Genetics. You're just like your father. Weather. I didn't say it was bad or good. I just said a statement. It looks like a tornado swept through your room. I've said that a time or two. Circle of life. I brought you into this world, and I can take you out. I just had to share some serious things. But seriously, are you instilling the same kind of legacy in your children and grandchildren as Timothy's mother and grandmother gave him? And if you weren't, if it wasn't instilled with you, let it begin today. Let it begin today. Thank you for your time.
Great. Great, great, great. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I didn't preach that. I couldn't got away with it. Sister used a word in her message I hear all the time. Important word. She used the word model. Model is what you do that other people can emulate. They'll act just like you. And we've